Cleaning Nation. Welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. As always, we're going to start the show by thanking you for being the best dang audience that exists. We are here only to serve you. We are growing by leaps and bounds because you are subscribing on iTunes, you're leaving ratings, reviews. You are just an amazing group of human beings. Keep up the love, and we'll keep putting out as amazing shows as we can and help you grow your cleaning company. Today, we are chatting with Heather Loveland from Home Sweet Home. Home Sweet Home has been serving the Syracuse, New York area for coming up on 3 years. If you want to reach out to Heather and her team, you can hold them at www.cnyhomecentralnewyorkhomesweethome.com. Heather, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you very much.
So glad to have you on. Tell us a little bit about you. Are you... You married, you single, you got kids. What brought you into the cleaning business? What brought you into Syracuse? Tell us everything, Heather.
I am in a seriously committed relationship with my great boyfriend, and we have two great dogs. I've been in the cleaning business for going on about 17 years now, but I have had my own business for the last 3 years, and I'm a third generation house cleaner.
Fantastic. So 17 years you were cleaning for somebody else and just taking hourly wages. And 3 years ago you said, I could do this myself.
Yes. I got a little bit smarter.
How's that transition been like? Cause I'm guessing there are dozens, if not hundreds of people listening right now that are in that same boat. Like, hey, I work for someone else. I want to do it myself. Was it scary? Talk to us through what that felt like and how it worked.
I did start doing it part-time and just slowly started taking more time to fit my schedule, but I didn't let go of my full-time position until I felt really comfortable financially.
Okay, cool. So you kind of dipped your toe in a little bit by just taking a job here and there without disrupting your main source of income, and when you felt comfortable, you made the leap.
Absolutely.
And if I can be so nosy, over the last 3 years, do you make less, more, the same? Do you work less, more, the same? Give us a little bit of, about your life now compared to then.
I think it changes with the weeks, but we really have found a sweet spot this last couple of months, and we've grown by 3 times. We tripled our revenue and our employees in the last 3 months. And as far as the workload goes, that's something I'm trying to get help with today. But in the beginning, I worked way too much, and now I'm slowly taking myself out of the cleaning role and starting to do things behind the scenes. So still working quite a bit, but transitioning into a management role.
Okay, so for you, and not that people can't do this faster or slower, but for you, it's taken about 3 years to start the process of transitioning out of doing a lot of cleaning and all the work to moving out of the cleaning, paying people to do that, and just focusing on being a business owner as opposed to a cleaner.
Right. Yes. Okay. I think there is something about feeling comfortable bringing employees into clients' homes that you've grown close with that finally I'm learning just to rip the Band-Aid off with that.
All right. Perfect. Well, thank you for sharing that story. Hopefully it'll be encouraging to some of our listeners. B, what's shaking in your world? How can I help make your life just a little bit better today?
So now that I'm into the management role, I have currently 10 employees, and I'm trying to learn how to deal with when people call in and how to put out those fires. It can send our whole crew into a panic mode if we're all fully booked, and I need to know how to stop freaking out and just deal with what needs to be done and still be able to focus on the to-do list instead of jumping into cleaning when somebody calls in.
Okay. Great question. Maybe we have, but I can't recall dealing with that before. And it's so good. That's a great question. So first and foremost, you've already done step one, which is recognize now that this is going to happen at some point in the future. The worst time is, what drives me nuts, people like, every time I feel like I'm getting on track, some employee quits or somebody calls in, you know, how was I supposed to know it's going to happen? Well, you just told me it happens every, you know, it's like going to a restaurant and you're like, oh, they don't have the nachos anymore? No, we don't have it. It's crazy too, because people ask every day for the nachos. It's like, well, then put them back on the menu. Like, you know, tomorrow 20 people are going to ask for the nachos. Make the nachos. Why do you keep going? Oh yeah, it's the worst. It happens all the time. Owners of cleaning companies do the same thing. Like, yeah, it's the worst. People keep not showing up every time. Well, then you know they're not going to show up. Make a plan for not showing up. So step one is to move from the, how was I supposed to know someone might not show up at some point, to the, hey, I see this is a problem, I'm going to make a plan for it. So congrats on understanding step one. Step two, how many hours on average do your folks work in a given day or week?
It's pretty big variety, but I would say right around 20 to 30.
hours per week?
Correct.
Okay, good. So the first thing I like to do is have more employees working less hours than less employees working more hours. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, because if you've got if you can have 5 employees working 10 hours a week or 10 employees working 5 hours a week, I'd rather have the 10, right? Because you create a culture of I want more hours as opposed to, good Lord, I can't take any more hours. So if and when you do need someone to cover a shift, it's not that, hey, please, 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 I know you're exhausted. I know you've got a 6-hour day already. Could you work 8? And I know you got to get home and please, that's not what you want. You want it to be like, everyone's like, man, I've only got 20 hours this week. I'd really like 25, or I've only got 25, I'd like 30. So when you do need to go to them, like they're excited and they're vying for the work as opposed to not vying for the work. So that's the first thing. Second thing you can do is have some sort of accountability in terms of people showing up. So for me, when I do my quarterly reviews, what I would coach folks on the quarterly reviews is you want to make sure first and foremost, it's a core values match. Second is attendance. And I always count two things. One, if you, first of all, no call, no show, they are fired immediately. Second, if they call in advance, like, hey, I got to take this weekend off, blah, blah, blah. That still counts against them, right? Because if they're constantly calling in, they can't be there. I'm like, hey, I need someone that can be there. And then if they call in, I usually give 48 hours, closer than 48 hours are unable to come in. That's a big demerit. The only way they can earn out of that demerit is by covering for someone else that called out. So every you want to pay people on that, good or bad. So A, if you cover a shift, that kind of buys you being able to call out. And if you don't, and if you are constantly calling out, you can't ever get more money. So your income is tied to how often you show up. I know I went over that piece of it really quick, but does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. Third thing is, and if you've got 10 employees, you're getting just close enough to do that, you can hire a floater. Where their job is only to be the backup, and you can just either have them help out another team if nobody calls out, or just pay them a very minimal amount per week, like a flat salary of $150 or something, or $100 or something very low, just to be available if somebody doesn't come in. So those are probably the quickest, easiest 3 or 4 strategies I've got to solve that problem. Less, more employees, less hours. So they want hours as opposed to you want them to work. Make sure that you track it in base pay on not showing up is a big no-no, covering shifts is a big yay. And then you could also hire a floater that is there to just cover those folks. Does that give you enough kind of ammunition to solve that problem?
Yes, I believe so.
All right, cool. We're only 8 minutes in. We got time. Any other questions, comments, thoughts, needs before we hit the lightning round?
How do you deal with trying to... Do you do bonuses? If you have an employee that's just being outstanding, they're covering shifts, they're not calling in, they're doing better than you could have ever hoped for, is bonuses a good way to help with incentive to keep that momentum going?
Bonuses are a fantastic way to help. I think I've covered this in a show before, but I'll hit it again because it's so important. The way I judge all of my employees is in the cleaning business is exactly the same way, in order of importance, from most important to least important. First and foremost is core values match. If for me, it's have fun, make money, help out, be real. If you're not about that, you're not a good fit, you can't work here for any money. If those are the things that you're passionate about and turn you on and make you excited, you're welcome here. And my job is to not make you want to be about having fun, making money, being real and helping out, but finding people that are already excited about that and kind of blow on that fire and stoke that fire. So that's the first and foremost thing I always judge employees on is core values match. Second, in the cleaning business is time and attendance, for sure. And you can, and I do a quarterly meeting, and that can either be where I'm going to give you a raise, I'm going to give you a bonus. If it's bonus, you might have a little quick meeting where it's like, hey, whoever had the best time and attendance ratio, i.e. you never missed a shift all month and you covered more shifts than anyone else, there's a $100 gift certificate this month. Next month, me and my boyfriend will take you and a guest out to dinner. The month after that, you get the good parking spot. The month after that, whatever you want to do, be creative. But yes, absolutely, I would do that. So first is core values match. Second is time and attendance. Third is complaints versus positive reviews. And they double if they're online, right? So if someone just calls in and says they did a bad job, that's a negative. If they call and say they did a good job, that's a positive. if they give a positive review online, that's like 5 good points. And if they give a negative review online, that's like 5 bad points. And then the fourth thing is going to be how quickly they clean, right? I want them to be cleaning close to par, right? If it's an hour job, I don't want them taking 20 minutes because I know they're doing a bad job. I certainly don't want them taking an hour and a half because I can't afford it. So those are the 4 ways I track people. I like doing it quarterly for pay raises, but if you just want to do a one-time bonus, I like monthly incentives for that, monthly prizes that people are into and having fun with. Did that answer your question?
Yes, it did.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I'm here to do, my friend. Any other questions or should we hit the lightning round?
We can hit the lightning round.
Done and done. Give me a chance to be quiet for 2 seconds and let Heather share some of her genius. Heather, what is the best piece of advice you've received personally or professionally in your years walking this earth?
I think it's the best when you listen to your clients, like I've heard you mention numerous times, and somebody from the Facebook group said to listen to your employees. You know, you might make assumptions about what they want and need, but when you're doing those quarterly reviews, really figure out what they need, what they want, touch base with your clients as often as possible without being annoying.
I'm going to say the most hypocritical thing I've ever said, I think. Here it comes. You will always, in any human interaction, whether it's family, clients, employees, friends, enemies, you will always do better listening than talking, says the guy that talks into a microphone all day without stopping. But you're absolutely right. I couldn't agree more, Heather. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that maybe we can steer clear of and save ourselves some of the headache that you had to go through?
Well, I mentioned that we've had a triple in our growth in the last 2 or 3 months. And I really think there were a few employees that I was attached to personally that weren't performing professionally that I should have fired quicker. So I would say instead of getting so attached, make sure that they are doing their job, what they're required to do. And if they're not, fire them.
Gosh, that is good. I couldn't agree more. That is probably the biggest, I don't want to say hiccup, but frustration I see coaching owners trying to take it to the next level is, well, Susie's been with me forever, or Bob's been with me forever. We have this relationship outside of work, which is fine, but having the relationship outside of work's fine, but then treating them differently inside of work will absolutely kill you. Before I hit you with the last lightning round question, I realized you said twice that you've tripled in the last 3 months from sounds like 2 or 3 employees to 10. And Cleaning Nation is going to send me all the angry emails if I don't go, what happened? What'd you do? What changed? You've been doing this 3 years. Why all of a sudden, 2 months ago, did you start growing like wildfire?
I stopped being afraid that I wasn't going to be able to give the employees the hours, and I overhired. I started kind of back to our original topic was I was so nervous that I was hiring very slowly, and then people wouldn't show up. They wouldn't be doing their job. I'd have to fire them, or they would quit. So I got advice from one of your podcasts and I overhired, and the people who have lasted are doing a fantastic job. I have complete confidence in them. And now we have built a culture to just do such a good job. I'm not having to be at every single job anymore. Additionally, I got rid of the people that were holding us back where I couldn't send them to jobs without a supervisor.
Sister, if you were here, I'd give you a big hug. I am constantly screaming and yelling and ranting like a lunatic. People get so scared. What do I do? It's chicken and the egg. I can't hire because I don't have the work to do them, and I can't get the work because I won't be able to find employees. I'm constantly saying you must hire first. No one ever goes out of business because they have too many good employees. No one listens. So tell me the fear, on the emotional side, because everyone gets the concept, but it's the emotional side. They don't listen to me because I'm just the dumb coach. You're an actual person doing it. How did you get over that fear of I'm not going to have enough hours for these people and push through that and do what you need to do and hire?
Honestly, I just did it. I was so nervous about it. I just started booking interviews back to back. We started doing group interviews. Yes. I tried every different concept that I've learned about through your podcast and online. And I just started hiring.
God bless it, Heather. Where have you been all my life? You're my new favorite Facebook group member. Thank you for sharing that. That is, you said it way better than I could have. Thank you for that. Really is giving that gate. I promise you, you really just helped a lot of people with that last line. All right. Last question. What's one idea that Cleaning Nation can put into practice that will make their business or their lives better?
Track everything. Track your employee call-ins, track your client cancellations, track how you're spending your time as the owner. track your expenses, your sales, and really track your goals and make sure you're checking in with yourself every week to see where you are, where you want to be.
Are you sure you're not one of my one-on-one clients? Because you are like, you're killing me. I feel like I'm on hidden camera. Someone just like giving you all the right answers to say, and I'm going nuts here. Going, yes, yes, everyone listen to Heather. She's so smart. Thank you for sharing that. You are 1,000% correct. Heather, thank you for joining us. Thank you for, that was you. I am making up an award on the spot. That was the best lightning round of the month. Hands down, you absolutely crushed it with the answers. I appreciate you. I know that Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Heather's show notes page, the link of everything we talked about, basically all the tools you need to grow your cleaning company, it is at growmycleaningcompany.com. I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.